I'm Spencer Beckwith for KUNM. In the 1950s, poet Weldon Keyes documented a transformative car trip in his poem, Travels in North America. 60 years later, another poet, Ray Gonzalez, summoned the aching ghost of Keyes to join him in his own exploratory car trip, Crossing New Mexico with Weldon Keyes. Now, the inspiration passes to composer and UNM grad student Luke Gullickson, who created a musical variation on that car trip titled Crossing New Mexico with Weldon Keyes and Ray Gonzalez. It premieres this month in Albuquerque, and Luke Gullickson is with me now. Luke, welcome.
Thank you.
One of the inspirations for this new work was the organization that commissioned it, Chatter, here in Albuquerque. How so?
Well, Chatter has been one of my families here in New Mexico since I moved here. And when I was asked to write a piece for them, I thought, well, what's unique about Chatter? Well, there's poetry every week at Chatter, as well as music. And there's also the fact that it's here, and it's not somewhere else. It's in Albuquerque. So I began looking around for poets that were either from here or that wrote about this area. And when I landed on Ray Gonzalez, I was really taken with his work, but also specifically with this poem about travel. A lot of my work has touched on ideas about travel, motion.
These poems by Gonzalez and Keyes, they do not offer a romantic vision of traveling or of America or the Southwest. Did that approach appeal to you?
Certainly. Like many people who moved here from elsewhere, I've been very inspired by the spaces and places of the American West. But the more time you spend out here, you learn that the spaces that looked empty are not empty, and that every nowhere you go to is somebody else's somewhere, somebody else's home from oftentimes many generations. And that's obviously very clear here in New Mexico.
There's also a real sense in these poems of restlessness, of searching for something. Did that strike a chord with you?
Yes. Certainly did. Searching and also the theme of disappearance in Weldon Keyes' poem and also his sort of ghostly presence in Ray Gonzalez's poem were both very inspiring to me.
There is a strong sense, I know, in the music that you write of landscape and natural forces. You also work as a wilderness guide, or have worked. Those elements are certainly part of these poems as well. Was that a connection that was important for you?
It was, and I've found that depicting those things is not, I don't really work to depict them directly. I find that it's a general inspiration, but when I sit down to write the music is still music.
Music can be influenced by the sounds that you know from nature?
Certainly, and the quiet. And actually, the first piece I wrote for Chatter was called Wind Rose, which is the old name for the Compass Rose, because I love the sounds of wind in New Mexico. And I remember being out at the Cottonwood Gulch Foundation in the Zuni Mountains and just laying in bed and hearing the different winds moving in different directions through the trees and thinking that if I could write any music that was half as beautiful as that, then it would have been a life well lived.
Does wind or silence figure in this new piece as well?
I think a lot of people who hear my music are surprised at the number of empty bars that there are. There's a lot of space. There's not necessarily literal silence, but there's a lot of the decay of sounds. You might hit a chord on the piano and then let it ring. And then the things that happen as the chord rings are as important as the initial attack of the notes.
You might call it negative space.
Yeah, that's a good metaphor.
Could you put into words, Luke, what music suggested itself to you as you explored these poems, as you sat down and read them together?
Well, I was very inspired by Keyes because I love that era of American art. But I wanted to follow Ray Gonzalez's path with this sort of ghost of Keyes. But I found that when I first sat down to try to really follow musically, more specifically along with his text, it really fell flat. I think that what I was doing ended up being too didactic, and I was trying too hard to reach for something that I didn't have in my ear, whereas when I let more the feeling of the journey that he was taking sort of just seep into my mind and then just sat down and began to write music in a straight line, it just began to suggest itself.
So you put yourself in the position of Gonzalez and the ghost of Keyes sitting in that car.
More or less, their presences were with me as artists and as creators, and I just started writing. And I love the idea of music as a journey. And in this case, the way that I wrote it was in this sort of methodical path where each morning I'd write a certain number of measures, and then the next morning I'd continue where I left off. And I wrote the piece actually from beginning to end in that way, in a totally linear manner, which is not a normal process.
You mean many composers, including yourself, would write parts of it and then mix those parts up?
Yeah, it's more common to write sketches, and you know, in school they call it pre-composition. You're supposed to do all this planning and figure out the structure and make all this. And I found that when I tried to write that way, that the music didn't have any life to it. It didn't have any flesh and blood. But when I just let the material suggest itself and trust that it would self-organize, it was more natural.
So the process of composing was somewhat like getting into the car and proceeding to a destination.
More or less. You know the direction that you're going. You know where you'd like to end up. Maybe you have people in the vehicle with you, and you have the shape of the car, and you have the shape of the road, and who you meet along the way and what you see along the way depends on a number of unforeseeable circumstances.
Now, many of us, Luke, are listening to you talk about reading poetry and creating music from that and not understanding how you could make that leap from reading words on a page to hearing musical sounds in your head.
The composer Louis Andriessen said that anything can be important for your music, whether it's mathematics or the way your mother makes pasta, that everything you do when you're having a conversation or when you're creating art, everything that you've done in your life, you bring to that. So if these things were just at the top of my mind when I was writing, then their presence is in there and suggests itself in some way.
You're going to be playing the piano. You're
yes.
a pianist and a
mm-hmm.
guitarist, among many other things. In this new trio, the other instruments are flute and violin, by the way. Does the piano have a particular voice or a role to play in this piece?
I think I write a lot for the piano, not just because it's my instrument, but because it's a resonance machine. The piano is just this enormous box that is built to create complicated resonance. So I think just the experience of sitting at the piano and playing a chord and hearing the, again, ghostly kind of presence that comes up as the chord decays and changes is a big influence in how I write.
It just occurs to me that there are three instruments in the piece, and there are three figures in the idea for this: yourself, Wendell Keys, and Ray Gonzalez. Is there a connection there?
Not a conscious one, but that's very interesting. This is sort of all part of a string of trio projects that I've done. It goes back to my love of small group jazz from the 50s and 60s to the modern day. Like the Bill Evans Trio is a classic example of that. I love that small group interaction. I would love to try to create some measure of that sort of interpersonal connection in a fully notated piece.
Do you think about, while you are composing Crossing New Mexico, what kind of effect you wanted to have on the listener?
I try not to control the listener's experience too much because I find it sort of disrespectful. I don't want to push anyone around. I don't want to compel anyone, but I want to provide. It's almost like hosting a party. You're creating a certain sort of space, and you're creating a certain set of circumstances, and you don't know how that will land with anyone, but you hope that it might create a certain experience.
How do you know, Luke, when a new piece of music is finished?
It's a great question, and a lot of composers really really struggle with that. Nadia Boulanger, who was one of the most famous composition teachers of the last 100 years, said that great pieces, or pieces period, are never finished. They're only abandoned. But in my case, because I was writing in this linear process, I really just kept doing a certain number of bars every morning until it was just done, until I had worked through the ideas and it came to a natural close. And then I put the double bar at the end and I was done.
And is it done? Might it change during the rehearsal process?
Yeah, it might, actually. I think I'll record the rehearsals. I'll go home and listen to it. I'll see if there are any parts that are dull or if it's working. But I don't trust my own opinion that much. So I think I might actually just leave it. I think it might be what it is. And my opinion is not the most important thing.
I just want to mention, it's interesting, your pairing on this program at Sunday Chatter, this new piece with a piano transcription of Aaron Copland's Billy the Kid.
Yes.
That's an interesting combination. Why?
Well, my piece was originally supposed to be the full program, the full 45-ish minutes, and it ended after 25, and I was done. And I thought, well, we need to fill this program. So I started thinking about more familiar composers who would provide a sort of stylistic bridge to my music. And Copland has always been very important to me, especially that quote-unquote Americana style of Copland that is exemplified by Billy the Kid. Billy the Kid is a favorite piece of mine. It has this resonant New Mexico connection. and the sound of it, it projects that idea about America and about the American West that I think brought a lot of us out here who aren't from the American West.
Yes.
And it was certainly an inspiration for me. I love the music on its own just as it is, but I wanted to try to contend with the ideas it suggests about the American West, about space, about landscape, and see how that compares to the same ideas that are expressed in my own music.
We will no doubt be hearing Billy the Kid before we hear the new piece.
That's the plan, yes.
What are the differences going to be there?
I think that there's a naive romanticism in the Copeland, and I don't say that disparagingly. I love this music, but you know, one of the movements is literally titled "Friendly Cowboys Ambling By," and then there's a Mexican dance, and it's all very fun and lively. And I hope that what I'm suggesting is more complicated than that. I hope that I'm suggesting a sense of not being a spectator of the West, but of being a participant in this place, and of trying to understand all the people who are here and their stories, and trying to hear the sounds and smell the smells and see the sights and be part of it.
Composer, musician, and UNM grad student Luke Gullickson premieres a trio for flute, violin, and piano, inspired by poems of Weldon Keyes and Ray Gonzalez. That's February 24th at Sunday Chatter in Albuquerque. Information and more from Luke at KUNM.org. Luke, so great to speak with you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
For KUNM, I'm Spencer Beckwith.